You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
It's Tim Talks with Tim Hortons on Tim Time. Everything Tim, it's Timness. Brother Wolven, good to have you here today and along for the ride as I speed you down the highway of life.
Well, I better put my seatbelt on to make sure my airbag's working.
You're not kidding. Oh, you're the airbag. You're the airbag.
Well, I'm working then.
And by the sounds of it, your airbag's got a leak in it. You sound a little congested again, my friend. Keep an eye on that. We're coming close to winter. We need you full steam ahead. All right. Hey, listen, we've been talking about the bivocational pastor, and I thought some great stuff on our last podcast, some great advice for guys, and I hope I helped us some. We're going to talk today about balancing the finances when you're working and the church is maybe starting a missions program, you are trying to have program. How do you balance that all out, and how do you keep that going? And then the other thing I want to touch on is things that we can do to help prepare the church, how to get across to the church, the need for that financial support, how do you raise the financial support that you're getting, those kind of things. So let me ask you today to start. If a man was bivocational, how long do you think he should expect to be bivocational, just from experience, from history? I know it's going to vary from place to place. What would you say would be a good time frame that, you know, after a certain amount of time, he should be thinking, man, I should be perhaps full-time by now? Any suggestions on that?
Well, I am going to wimp out on the answer because I think that adds great pressure on a guy. I'm 1 year behind. Hey, I'm 2 years ahead. Boy, that is really, really tough to say. But I will say most pastors will support a guy for up to 4 years. But many pastors, depending on the location, especially in the States, will only support a man for a year. So whenever you're talking about how long should somebody be bivocational, man, that's really difficult to say because it's going to depend on how old the fella is, how many children he has, where is the church located. And so, you know, I'm just going to wimp out and not add any pressure to some guy who already feels great stress and great difficulty in his life, and now we're going to confirm that he just doesn't have it.
Right.
Boy,
right.
I hate saying that.
Yeah, I know. I don't think you're wimping out on that. I mean, I think it's a thought that guys have, and to throw it out there to see what another man's thinking is not a problem at all. And I think it comes with the guy and where he's at. And, you know, obviously, if you're working in a city center or if you're in a rural location, obviously things are going to be different. So you take each case as it comes. But I think the thinking has to be, I am definitely working towards being you know, full-time in the ministry.
Yes.
And the reason for that is so that we can give all of our thought and all of our concentration. And I think guys have to be careful. Once you get to that place where you are full-time in the ministry, boy, you better keep working as hard or harder than you were before. Because that support can drop more quickly from church members than it can from supporting churches sometimes. And so you better be ready for that, too. You better be working hard. Let's talk about missions programs. And a guy who's working full-time, does he start a missions program? Should he do a Faith Promise program? Or should they take care of themselves? Let me hear what you have to say about that.
Well, I guess it would depend, again, upon what the Lord has laid upon his heart. I could tell you of church after church after church that had started a missions program, and because they were giving of themselves and giving away to the cause of Christ, God blessed them. And then I can tell you some other places that said, you know what, we are a mission work. We're not going to support any other missions programs right now until we get supported ourselves. But I think at least that you ought to encourage the people to give to missions. And if you as a church are going to say our first primary mission is maybe insurance for the pastor, or something like that where you're going to break that down, but get used to giving in missions, and whatever you decide to do as a church for missions would be appropriate.
Yeah, I agree. I've had an argument, not an argument, I've had disagreement with some guys in the past.
Debate.
Yeah, that's a good word. Actually, it went to blows, but...
then it was a Baptist business meeting. That's what it
business
was.
Business meeting, that's right. Shoes were thrown. I've had this discussion with guys, and my personal thought is, and I agree, we want to see faith. We want to exercise faith. We want our people to support missions, and I agree with that. I think it's good. But I do have a hard time saying to a guy who's just starting out, yeah, take that money and give it to someone else and feed their family while you're struggling to feed your own. And I don't want to sound like I don't have faith and that I don't want to test the Lord and things. I do, but I think you're absolutely right in that one of the first missions works that you have to take on is the missionary who's been called to that church, called the pastor, so that he can be looked after. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying we want to care for that man of God first, because as long as he hasn't got supply, that supply of the church, I don't know if he can fully concentrate on the ministry the way that he wants to. He's worrying about taking care of his family, so he needs to be looked after. And if the church can do that, great. Now, once that's taken care of, you better support missionaries. You better have a missions program and get that thing going and exercise that faith by your faith promise giving as well. For those that are maybe listening and don't know faith promise says, I'm going to give expecting God to give me that money. I'm just going to give it every week and trust that God's going to supply. That's the faith promise picture in a nutshell. For those that are listening, Brother Wolven, who aren't pastors, we have teenagers and church members listening. What would you say to them who maybe have a pastor who's working bivocational? How would you encourage them to encourage their pastor?
I think we missed the boat in explaining the benefits of a pastor being full-time. We think of, well, let's pay the guy so he doesn't have to work somewhere else. And I think that that's really not the thought behind it. The idea is that if you have called a pastor, you have an obligation to that pastor. That pastor is a gift to the church, according to Ephesians chapter 4. And so for that pastor to be more effective as a minister would be to free up his time so he can minister more. And so that's really the goal. It isn't like, this guy wants a new career and we're supposed to float his career. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the concept that if God has called him, you have invited him and voted on him as your pastor. Now, because of that, there's some obligations. The more you can do for him, the greater he will be able to do for you.
Hmm. That's excellent. That is excellent, Brother Wolven. Great statement. I want to encourage on that note that there are things that you can do as a church where you may not be able to do financially. I've often said this. If I was a chicken farmer and I had a pastor, my pastor would eat chicken for free. He would have all the chicken he needed. Or if I was a barber, his haircuts would be free. Those are some things that you can do that help relieve some of the stresses of, trying to maintain. Little things like that, or maybe, if he is working, help him with part-time work or other things that he can do, those kind of things, or help him in his work. Maybe he's got a business, and you can help in that business to help doing some of those things. But definitely take that interest in him. The more you care for him, the more he's going to care for you. I like what you said there. That's awesome.
Yes, and I have spoken over the years, many individuals who perhaps they were chairman of a board of deacons, and they have testified that every single time that they have given their pastor a raise or added something to his benefit financially, that the church wound up growing either financially, numerically, or in some capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bible says that he's worth a double honor. And as a preacher, I've never expected to make twice as much as my men would make or anything like that. But I think and part of that is you need to take care of the man of God, and because he's taking care of your family, you're watching for your soul. That's important. But as the man of God, I think we need to realize too, our people work awful hard for the money they get, and for them to give sometimes is, obviously in obedience to the Lord, we've got to do that. But at the same time, there are some who are going to do maybe less than you're doing because they're giving. So we have to be conscious of that as well, that our folks do give and work hard and those kind of things as well, and never take advantage of that.
Well, see, sometimes though, brother, I think that we don't fast and pray for wisdom like what we ought. There are many different avenues in which someone is able to help. Let me tell you something I heard the other day of a church. They wanted to provide a vehicle for their pastor, and they lived in an area where everybody needed pickup trucks. What they did is they took an offering for a down payment on his pickup truck and went to the dealership. But before they went there, they said, all right, the payments are going to be X a month. You know, I think it was around $480 a month, and it was over 4 years. And they said, let's everybody sign up to take a payment. And so over the space of 4 years, I think everybody has about maybe some people signed up for who are doing a little bit better. They signed up to take an extra payment once a year. So the title is in the pastor's name, but the individuals are sending in the payment. And one of the individual, one of the deacons or trustees are, their job is just, hey, brother, don't forget you got 2 months from now. Don't forget about that payment. And so, that's a rather creative way of doing that. For the pastor, they realized that they didn't have it in their budget, but if people wanted to help out in a certain way, and, somebody say, well, man, that's a lot of money. Well, you know what? If you set some money aside, you could make one payment in 4 years.
Absolutely. And I think churches are having to be creative today, especially when you're starting out. They've got to come up with some things. Let me ask you this. The question was asked, when you're bivocational, do you have guest preachers in? How often do you have them in? And what would you give them for coming in?
Well, you just have to be honest. You contact a guy. I think the blessing to the church, if that's the purpose, the church can hear from another voice. They can get the opportunity of perhaps maybe they're in a rural area and nobody's going to be able to go hear a pastor in of some large church, but he may come there for a while. He can do some great blessings to the church while he's there. Yeah, I would have him in, but I would just be honest and say, brother, I'm not even making anything here. Church isn't supporting us. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're really praying. If the Lord's laid upon your heart, would you please come? Most preachers, if they have any money at all, they're going to come because they see the need. And pastors as a whole, big church, little church, we love ministering to people. And it's a joy of our heart to minister to people. So, yeah, I would have them in. And, of course, then there's some other things you can do. You can say, folks, we've got this guy's going to be here one Sunday. If we can get 8 people to buy a $25 gift card to a certain restaurant, maybe here's 3 restaurants, that we can go visit, then we don't have to come up with that as a church. There's a lot of creative things you can wind up doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, my heart goes out to and my hat goes off to those guys that are willing to be bivocational. I knew what it was to work hard and to have very little to start, and it absolutely was a help to me. It made me appreciate how hard my people worked. It made me appreciate my love for the ministry, and it gave me a strong desire to build the church as quickly as I possibly could. Obviously, the Lord builds a church, but we work hard at it so that I could go full-time. Maybe you're today bivocational. God bless you. Thank you for being faithful. And know this, that God does know, and he does care, and he will supply. Work hard at it, and work hard at the church, and tell your people you're working hard at both, and they'll see it, and they'll know it, and they'll bless you for it. This is Tim Talks. As always, we appreciate you listening, and if you can share us with someone else to help someone else, we would greatly appreciate it very, very much. I'm Brother Al Stone in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada.
This is Dan Wolven from Columbus, Ohio, and let me encourage you fellas that are bivocational to be honest with your congregation, to encourage them, to let them know what the clear things are that you're looking for, and maybe even help to construct a plan of how to get there.
And let me encourage you to ask Brother Dan Wolven to come preach for you, and don't give him a love offering. Just tell him you're working hard and you can't afford it.
Amen.
Have a great day. This is Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.